Today's shiur for contemporary halacha is on the topic of halachic implications of blood, bone marrow, and kidney donation. Rabbi Dr. David Shabtai went to Columbia University, Mount Sinai,
NYU
for medical school, and is presently in the Kol Elyon here. And I know that when they have shailas in various medical issues and Tumas Konim issues, and I spoke to Shechter about them, he said I should ask Dr. Shabtai, Rabbi Shabtai, what he thought. So, Bechavirav, Dr. Shabtai, Rabbi Shabtai.
Thank you very much. It's really a privilege and an honor for me to be here to learn Torah together with you guys today. So what I want to talk today about is, like it says, blood, bone marrow, and kidney donation. I have a tendency to speak a little bit fast, so please feel free to raise your hand and slow me down at any point. Also, if I use a medical term that people don't know, sometimes I think people know things that come naturally depending on how many years you've sat doing something, so you think these are second nature, please just stop me. So what we're going to first discuss is blood donation and bone marrow donation, and then we'll transition to kidney donation. And in order to do that, so we'll be probing the limits of the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, of saving a life. What is the mitzvah? What are the parameters for that mitzvah? How far do I have to go? What are the minimum that I have to go? We're not going to do the maximum today. We're just going to talk about the minimum so far. And we'll see how that impacts on blood, bone marrow, and kidney donation. So let's first talk about blood donation. People are very familiar with it. The simplest way, I think, for most people to save somebody's life is to give blood. Everybody can give blood practically, right? They have a criteria, a list of exactly who can do it. And almost all the people who receive blood are cholim sheyesh bahem sakana. Blood transfusion, although we screen people, we ask you questions before we take your blood. You know, do you have certain diseases? Have you been to certain foreign countries that puts you at a higher risk? Nonetheless, even after we do that, we still screen the blood and try to get out. We try to make sure there's no hepatitis, there's no HIV. Even with all of that, none of these tests are 100% accurate. They're only 99 point something, okay, which is pretty high. But when you're taking thousands and thousands and millions of blood donations, those point whatever percentages come in. And so there is a certain limited level of risk. So therefore, we don't give a blood transfusion to someone unless they really, really need it. For example, someone's in a car accident or a terrible accident and they're bleeding out. They're going to need blood because they're losing it. They don't really have a choice. In surgery, patients need blood. There are a lot of situations in which patients need blood, and almost all of them, I can say pretty confidently, are cholim sheyesh bahem sakon. So we're talking about real pikuach nefesh here, potentially at least, on the recipient side. So why do we need so many people to give blood? Because there are so many people who need it. There is a matching problem, however. There are different types. Yes?
I heard from someone, and I tried to contact the Red Cross. I couldn't get a straight answer from them about this. Is there that blood is actually thrown away, that there's no need for?
Right. So I tried to be careful and say, on the recipient side, all the cholim who are receiving blood are cholim sheyesh bahem sakana. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Is there blood that's being thrown away? Hopefully not. But sometimes, unfortunately, there is because of a variety of factors. Certainly not this week, after Hurricane Sandy. We'll talk about when we talk about the actual, the pikuach nefesh that's involved. And so there are different types of blood groups. There's ABO. You could either be type A, type B, type AB, or type O. And we have to match that with the donor, more or less, depending on how much of immunology you're familiar with. Type A carries an A antigen. Type B carries a B antigen. AB carries both antigens. Type O carries no antigens. If you have an antigen, it means that your immune system will attack something that it seems as foreign. So if you are A, you have anti-B. So if you receive a type B blood, you're going to attack that blood and try to destroy those blood cells, and that's not really going to help you in any way. It's just going to make you really, really sick. Type AB has both, so they can't get from A or B. They can get from O. O has no antigen, so no. It works. You can figure out the math. There's also a plus and a minus called a rhesus factor. We try to give plus to plus and minus to minus. Plus people can receive minus, though. So there is a little bit of a matching. And we try to glut from the larger community as a whole so we can get all different types. Different communities have different percentages of people who have different types of blood. For example, especially parts of the Jewish community, by the Sephardim, for example, which are a lot more isolated communities, by the Syrians, there's a lot of type B, for example. More than in the general population. But nonetheless, this blood is going to help people, and if it is a match. So if you give blood today, what happens to it, which addresses your question, they have to screen it, they have to go through it. It is not going to reach anybody for a little bit of time until it's screened through, it's processed. Are they giving whole blood, which is just taking the red blood cells out of your blood? Are they giving plasma? Are they giving platelets? Are they giving parts of that blood which require a process to get it out? Even if it goes to a fall and blood has a shelf life, it needs to be refrigerated, it can only be last for a certain amount of time, it's not going to anyone who is a cholera right now. Right? The cholim right now have blood that was donated a week ago or 2 weeks ago. The cholim that we're going to give blood to today, if we gave, are going to be cholim in the future, which is going to impact somewhat on the pikuach nefesh ayla, which is why sometimes blood gets thrown out, because it has a shelf life, and you know, if you have a type B-minus blood, and it's a little bit rare, and they took platelets out of it, and there happens to be nobody with it, so then it was unfortunately not used. I believe it's more than a rov gadol that gets used. It's a miut shein matzui, I believe, that gets thrown out. And then there are two types of blood donation. We'll just set them straight out now. There could be something called directed blood donation. You know somebody who needs blood, they're having surgery, and you're giving blood for that patient's care right now. Your blood is going to go. You're screened already, assuming that there are no problems. That blood is set aside to go to that patient. This patient is a chol sheyesh bo sakana, or is about to be a chol sheyesh bo sakana, is about to have a surgery, and this blood is going to them right now. Or your blood could go to a blood bank, which is when the Red Cross comes here and draws blood, it goes to the blood bank. It's less directed. We'll talk about what nafka means that has afterwards. Okay, so let's start looking at what does the halacha have to say. What about the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh? And the first makor for this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Gimel Amud Aleph, which is page 1 of the makoros. Again, the makoros are extensive, just because I found that from contemporary halacha, I didn't always use all the makoros on the spot as the kashir was going on. I understand that, but many years later, sometimes many, many years later, I found my packets and gone through them and found the makaros and found them helpful for myself in preparing shiurim and learning the sugya. So even if you don't see everything today, it might be helpful to have to look back on a little bit later. It's also for that... They're all numbered. So the pages are all numbered. Thank you, Rabbi Orlean, very much, even though to 102 or so. So I painstakingly did that. I on purpose, I did not include any of the medical data in here, because I felt that if you do look at it in 5 years, the medical data will likely be outdated. So we'll talk about it today, but medical data changes. And so we'll talk about risks and stuff. That's accurate as of whenever these papers that we'll quote were written, or as of today, but not necessarily 5 years from now. So just be careful when you use the medical data in the future. You should check up on it first. If you want, you can try to contact me. I can try to help you find it if you're giving a shiur on this in the future. Fine. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I'm Gimel Amud Aleph. In the middle of the page, it says Gufa. It's two lines under the Sham. Minayin l'ras chaverusu tovea b'nahar o chaya gorarsa or gorarta o listin b'ayin alavsu chaya b'latzilo. So Talmud lomar lo tamar ol damreyecha. Right, lo tamar ol damreyecha. Don't stand idly by. V'ha mehacha nafka mehasam nafka. Avedus really? We learned it from Avedus Gufa minayin. Talmud lomar v'ashevosalo. From the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, the Gemara assumes to learn the mitzvah of seemingly to save someone's life from the mitzvah of Lo Tamar Ol Damreyecha, and it says, no, we learn it from Hashavas Aveda. So now you can just say it's an obvious difference. One is a lav, one is an asay. Okay, that may have ramifications for us. So, no. Imei ha'asam ha'vamina ha'nimili b'nafshe v'al mitrachu me'egar agure e'malo kamash malan. If we just had a Shavas Aveda, you would have thought that you only have to do that which you can do on your own, begufo, but to go and demaskir and to hire people to spend your money in order to save someone else's life, you would not have to do. The Torah teaches us, lo saman al damreyecha, kamash malon, even la agure, and to spend money to save someone's life, you have to do. So the question is, well, how do you relate to these two mkoros now that we have two mkoros? And so there are two ways of viewing this, is that they're complementary. Really, 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 the mitzvah is Hashavas Aveda, for example. And because Hashavas Aveda doesn't require you to spend money, whenever you have to spend money, you wouldn't have had to. Kamash Malon, Lo Samal Damreyecha kicks in when Hashavas Aveda no longer applies. So really, 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 it's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And when there's a special tour or something like that, so Lo Samal Damreyecha kicks in. Alternatively, it could be that they function together at the same time. Really, 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 they're both two chiyuv and they both apply at the same time. There is no nafkamina between them. So, for example, Rishlom Kluger writes that Rishlom Kluger and Minchas Chinuch, sorry, I forget which one says which, but let's say if you're doing a Shabbos Aveda and someone does an Aveda Midas, right, someone throws something out in the garbage, you have no mitzvah to go and meshiv that to them. You can throw that out on your own, and I have no chiyuv to go give it back to you. So too, if someone is trying to ma'aved atzmo l'das, is trying to kill themselves, I would have no chiyuv to save your life. Because just like Hashavas Aveda, I have no chiyuv in Aveda Midas, so too I would have no chiyuv in saving a life if it's really all about Hashavas Aveda. The other issue is Zakin Deina Lufi Kvodo, which is a p'tur by Hashavas Aveda. We'd also be a p'tur here. If it's Eina Lufi Kvodo to jump into the river to save someone, you're dressed in your fancy Shabbos clothes, you don't want to jump into the river. So you would say, it's Zakin Deina Lufi Kvodo, you wouldn't have had to be Mesha for the Aveda that was in the river, so too you should have to save the life. These are not accepted lahalacha. Rav Moshe Feinstein is, in Igros Moshe, is extremely upset about these tshuvas, of his opinions. He is very charif at lo yalel adas, that they even meant it, and he tries to reinterpret that they didn't even mean like that. It seems like they meant like that, and he just disagrees because he doesn't even find it tenable. But halacha l'maisa, we don't apply that. We assume that whenever, that both lo samal damrayecha, meaning if there's no p'tur of zaken v'netel lichvado by lo samal damrayecha, lo shamanu davar kaze, right? There's no aveda midas. You never sort of lo samal damrayecha when you want to hurt yourself. Lo shamanu davar kaze, and so lo samal damrayecha would kick in immediately after. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in a different context, assumes also, it seems to be, this is how I explain what he's assuming, there's a very long tshuva that he has against what Rav Pinchas Epstein wrote in the Shmir Shabbos Gosa. Rav Shlomo Zalman has an opinion that's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos that the Kshayla was like this. There were nurses in the hospital, and they had a chulent. And they wanted to know, do they have to give their chulent to the patients, and they won't have chulent for Shabbos lunch? Or can they eat the chulent and then, there's no food for the patients, and they're home safe, and we can cook for them. So do you have to give up your own food and have some sort of tzar to prevent a chil Shabbos? And he said, no, you don't have to do that. You can eat your chulent and make the chulent for the patients. And Rav Pinchas Epstein got very upset about this. Pinchas Epstein was the Ravid, or the Gaivid of Eidah Charedis. I don't remember if there even was a distinction then. He was the head of Eidah Charedis in Jerusalem. And he was very upset about this. And so in this tshuva in Minchas Shlomo, I think it's a Simen Ches in the first Chelek, he says, no, really, 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 everything is about a chiyuv beguf. There's no chiyuv b'mamon. You don't have to give up over your own mamon. And only in certain circumstances does it kick in. So it seems to be that he's reading this notion of Pikuach Nefesh, both on Shabbos. He has a bunch of different ways of reading it, that you have a chiyuv b'nafshei to do what you have to do, but I don't have to give you my money. I don't have to suffer tzar. He assumes tzar is also like tircha and tzar have to do with giving up money. It's the same idea. And you don't have to do that to at least prevent something else. He also assumes this two-tiered mahalach of mitzvah hatzalah. No, he was...
He allowed
the nurses to eat the chulent and then to cook chulent for the patients. That's one of his nafkaminas. But you can go through the tshuva. It's a very long tshuva. But I think this is the same idea that at least is underlying. We're not going to go through the tshuva right now.
This is the same idea underlining, not Rav Moshe,
underlying Rav Shlomo Zalman.
No, but Shlomo Zalman isn't learning, not like
Rav Moshe just said, they don't necessarily have to go together. Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't think, would agree with Rav Shlomo Kluger. I think it's the same type of, you don't have to be that extreme. But it's a very, very long and complicated and interesting tshuva. Rav Life has incidentally just gave, I think, 5 or 6 kaburas just dealing with that one tshuva, trying to figure out what makes sense there. Fine. So now... Okay, so we have this mitzvah, we have a Shabbos Aveda and Lo Samal Adam Reacha, so, okay, we have to save someone else's life, but how far do you have to go in order to do that? What do you have to do in order to do that? How much do you have to give up to do that? So every mitzvah has an expense. Every mitzvah requires you either to spend money, spend time, or spend energy. There's a cost to every single mitzvah. So we know that in mitzvah Saseh, you have to give up Chomesh Nechasav. The Ramah writes this in the Arachayim Tafresh Menvav by mitzvah of Arba Minim. You have to give up even Chomesh Nechasav in order to procure yourself in the Lulav and Esrog in order to perform a mitzvah saseh. By a lav, though, Ramah doesn't mention it there, but it's in Yoredei Kofdin Zayin, is you have to be willing to give up everything you have to not violate a lav. Right? You're never allowed to violate a lav, even if it costs you all of your money, kol mamono, as opposed to Chomesh Nechasav. So, for example, this is an example I'd like to give. If you're on an island and there are ham sandwiches that are free and only one kosher sandwich, but it costs you everything you have, and you could easily eat the ham sandwiches, but you can spend all your money on the one kosher sandwich, you would have to spend chomesh nechasav at least, or you have to spend all your money, because it would be a lav, on the one kosher sandwich, as opposed to eating all the free ham sandwiches that are available, because you have to give up everything tonight off. So the next day, Yitaka wouldn't have any money, and then you could eat again the ham sandwiches, but kol zman, you have assets, you would have to spend kol mamonu to not violate a lav. So, fine. So for Hashavas Aveda, you have to spend Chomesh Nechasav. And for Lo Samar Al Damarecha, how much do you have to spend? So Lo Samar Al Damarecha is a Lav Shein B'maisa. So what is it that about an Asay and a Lav that makes them different, like Gavi Chomesh Nechasav or Kol Mamono? right? If it's actually, well, by an assay, it just, when you don't perform an assay, you're just doing it b'shei bal taisa. You really didn't do anything. So you only have to give a chamush nechasa. But to do a lav, you actually violated an isser b'kum v'asei, and so therefore the halacha requires you to give up kol mamono. Or is it, no, is it something about an assay and a lav per se? So if you look on page 2 in the Rivash, it's a long complicated tshuva, but he has one line here. He says, it's in the third paragraph in the right column, and he goes through all of the rayas. Then if you go about a third of the way from the bottom of that paragraph, two words from the end, Im Yomar, it's by the 41 star. Im Yomar Baal Adin, Shemitzvah Lo Saseh She'ein B'Maiseh, Harehi B'Inyan Zeke Mitzvah Saseh, Kevan She'eino Over B'Yadayim. If you think the difference between Asseh and Alav is whether you're over B'Yadayim or over B'Shev Al Taiseh, Alav Araya. Shemitir B'Mitzvah Saseh, Hakalo B'Shev Al Taiseh, Ein Lemedim Mitzvah Lo Saseh She'ein Lemedim Chomor Mikala Hakel, Sotavar, Ein Dachin Notashi Anus Momon Potter B'Nun Zeh. That's getting back to his original point. But he says, no, it's about it being a lav or being an assay. If it's a lav, you have to give up chomesh mamono, even if it's for shev al taisa. And if it's an assay, you would have to give up chomesh nechasav. So this is going to be a longer machlokas. Have Rishon. I don't know of any of the Rishonim who say the opposite approach, but we definitely have Achronim who say the opposite approach. If you look in the Bikur Yankiv, or Yaakov Etlinger, the Binyan Siyan, on that piece in the Ramah, in Taf Rishon and Vav, so he wants to know, he says, oh, at first, he tries to bring rayas from Rishonim that everything's taloi in and kumva seber shebal taise. And he says, yeah, but I saw the Rivash who says not like that. And he wants to know, what about an assay that you would would have to do the shebal taise? He has his raya is that nafkuta bezeim tzarech lebazveis hon rav shelo lechol chutz la sukkah. When you're eating outside the sukkah, you're mevatel an assay b'kumva assay. Normally, when you're mevatel nasei, it's b'shev al taisa. Here, you're mevatel nasei b'kum v'asei. Right? So, is that kol mamon or chomesh nechasav? So, he goes through the whole thing, and you can see, he doesn't really come to so much of a conclusion, but you can see all the makaras here that he quotes. I'm not going to go through it all, but it's kedai to see. Similarly, the Pisrei Tshuva in Kufn and Zayin on page 5, he does the same thing. He brings you all the rayas here. And he's quoting the Sefer Tevas Gome of the Prima Godim. It's about a third of the way down in the Pisrei Tshuva. The Belosas says, "Ein bo meise kamo lahaniach chamid shelo yivayer vechadome yesh lamer dein mechuyev levazir mamono." See, as a Prima Godim in the Tevas Gome, it's perish on chomish. So he thinks you don't have to. The Rivash thinks you do have to. The meise is be machlokas achronim whether it's kol mamono or chomish nechasav. So okay, so that's how much money I have to spend if we're talking about assets, but we're not really talking about assets necessarily here. What about things that are not able to be so simply quantified? What about something called tsar? Right? So how much tsar do you have to suffer in order to save someone else's life or to perform any mitzvah, a say, or a lav, depending on how you want to codify a lav, lo saman al damarecha, whether it's going to be chomesh nechasav or kol mamono? What about, how does tsar fit into that calculation? So there are kind of interesting gemaras about this that don't deal with it directly, but the Achronim, the Rishonim, and the Achronim already try to put these things together. So the gemara in the Dar and Pam and Beis, on the bottom, okay, so it's about a couple of lines up from the bottom, Verami Rabbi Yossi at Rabbi Yossi. Page 6, sorry. It says, Mayan shel bnei ha'ir. And Rashi tells us that it's a Mayan shel bnei ha'ir. There's a city. Rashi says Moshech v'holech li'ir acheres ve'im bo elik kadei sibuk shdiyasan shel bnei osa ha'ir. Right? There's two cities on the river. One is higher up on the river. One is lower down the river. There's only enough water in the river for one city. So the people at the top of the river clearly can take the water first. So are they allowed to do that? Do they have to do that? So it says chayim v'chayei acherim, chayim kodmin v'chayei acherim. Right, if it's the top city's life or the bottom city's life, the top city can take all the water and say we need to save our lives, and at the expense of the lower city. Ubehemas acherim. And what if it's enough water? We'll have enough water for us, and they'll have enough water for them to drink. What about my behemis? So our behemis come before their behemis. So kvisasan v'kvisas acherim, kvisasan kodemes l'kvisas acherim. So too with laundry, the top city's laundry comes before the bottom city's laundry, assuming kvisa means laundry. So chayei acherim v'kvisasan.
So what about if it's the top people's laundry or the bottom people's water to drink? Seemingly, that's what the Gemara sounds like. So Chayei Achirim couldn't be Kvisasim. So you would assume that the Chayei Achirim should come before your laundry. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kvisasim Kodemes L'Chayei Achirim. No, the top city, the upriver's, the upstream's city's Kvisa is come first. So it says, so hash the Kvisa. So Amar Rabbi Yossi Yesh Bat Tzar Guf. We'll look at the next page. Tzar Guf Kulo Lo Kol Shekhen. Amar In Kvisa Alim Rabbi Yossi Amar Shmuel Ha Arbuvet the Duration Masi Lidei Avira. Right? That also not having laundry will cause this shiamum, some type of sakana. Not having laundry is really bad, and if you don't have laundry, it's not going to be good for you, and so you can do your laundry at the expense of those other people seemingly not having water to drink. So, okay, so the ma'ichiyuv, what about ma'ichiyuv to save those people's lives? They have I have to give them water to drink if I can. Remember, I have enough to drink. It's not like Ben Paterno of Bikiva, which we'll talk about later. So, what's exactly shot there? It seems like my tsar, at least, comes before the other city's Pikuach Nefesh, which is a little bit interesting if you think that, what about Losam al-Lamarecha, is Kol Mamono, you're saying tsar, not having clean laundry, is more than Kol Mamono, it's a little bit hard to fathom. Unfortunately, last week, people are actually going through this. I don't think that any of them, people going through this in the Far Rockaways, in the Far Rockaway or in the Five Towns, who don't have laundry, don't have homes. It's a little bit more real today. So we talk about Kol Mamon and Chomash Tachasov, but we're talking about it without. I'm not really relating. People did lose all of their Mamon, and I guess we could ask them in the better times what would they consider doing for saving other people's lives. But we'll leave the real life part of it a little bit aside for the moment. So it seems like from there, at least, that the tsar comes first. And the Beis Shmuel, at least, puts this together with another sugya. So it's how could it be that the tsar comes first? So there's another sugya. We'll see it in the Rambam on page 8. It's Nashim Hilchos Ishus Perakaf Aleph. So, Halacha Yud Aleph. Aisha called from Shimanika, Sibidam, Pochtin, Lami Matsi, Adel, Mosifin, Lal, Mazanosa, Yain, Jodarm, Shiafim, Lachalov. Right? When the woman is nursing, so we provide her with all those things that are good for nursing. So she could help the child from the husband, and we take that away from her. Masa yadayim, it's a cheshbon. So paskula mizonos haru uyosla. So they gave her mizonos that are appropriate for her. Varei misav alechol yeser. She wants more things. Olechol machlos acherim necholi atava. She yesla bebitna. She's she has a craving of some sort. Harizu ochelos mishala kol mashatirza. Veina baal yochol aake vilomar shim tochal yoter midai tochal machal ra yomus avlad mitesha tsar gufa kodem. She can eat whatever she wants. She wants, pickles and ice cream. So she's not pregnant, she's nursing. She wants her pickles and ice cream. And we tell her, this is not necessarily medically true, but we would tell her, that's bad for the Vlad. Doesn't matter. Tzara deguf kodem. And this is, in fact, quoted in the Halacha Shulchan Aruch on page 9. It's Eben Ezer, Simon Pei, Se'if, Yud Beis. Paschalom is on Saruyas, love Arim, Misav, Alech, Yoser. It's exactly from the Rambam, Alech, Machal, Sacheros. Yesh Misha Omer, She'ena Baal Yochal, Ha'akev, Nisakan, Savlad. So he quotes the rabbi first, and then the Yesh Mishomer, the other Rishon who disagree. So, find the Beis Shmuel, the Chalkas Machokik says, I don't understand. In Sifchat and Kafbeis, he says, V'yesh Mishomer, im lovlad savik sakana, v'la ein sakana, rak tzar, mehei tesi demikoch tzar te sakana vlad. How could you possibly understand that because of the Makom Tsar, she's craving, she wants her ice cream, or pickles and ice cream, but it's going to be bad for the Vlad, let's say. How could it possibly put someone else with Sakana because of a Tsar? Vim gam la Sakana lo yadati micholak al zeh. So let's say she's also with Sakana. Okay, we'll talk about that at the end of this year. But if she's with Sakana and she needs the pickles and ice cream to save her life, so then, okay, chaya, Kolzman will cheshbin that out. But Kolzman, then it's just Tsar, mehechi tesi, you can put someone else's life at risk. So the Beis Shmuel responds, so if you look in Siman Kata and Tesvav, Kakas of Aramba, because of Becholkas Mechokik, you might give himself a lot of Sakhana, the line of Lakana, From the Durm, Daf Pei. The Durm, Daf Pei, with Beis, we saw that the Kvisos and Kodem is Lachaya Achirin, according to Rabbi Yossi. So you see that Tsar comes, your Makum Tsar comes before someone else's livelihood. Okay, so that seems like a good riot. Right? I mean, it seems like a good riot, at least Pashtus in the Gornadarm, yeah.
Isn't Rabbi Yossi only says that because he assumed this is a tsar that has a slight tzad of sakana involved in it.
So he doesn't say sakana, he says shia mumisa. And we're really uncomfortable with shia mumisa meaning boredom. Right? I mean, shia mum usually means boredom that'll come liday vatala, which will come liday, vatala, shia mum maybe liday zima. But like, it's not sakana stafashas. We're just real, I'm uncomfortable reading it that way, so I think many of the achronim already read that as it's something. Something is going to happen. But Pasha Pshad is, and you, clearly in Beis Shmuel, he thinks it's just Tsar. And I would think that that would be Pasha Pshad in the Sukkah. So someone will say, yeah, but we don't paskin like, so why do we paskin like Rav Yossi? So the Shilta is already paskin like Rav Yossi, and the Rambam paskin is like Rav Yossi. In the Halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, you can say, yeah, we don't really paskin that way because of, it's a Yesh Omer and Yesh Omer, Yesh Misha Omer and Yesh Misha Omer, when you have a Yesh for Yesh, Halacha for Yesh Basra, so we really pass like the second one, so it's not really a Kasha. But, okay, it's still, according to that Shita, it's still a Kasha, even if we don't pass in that way. How do you understand that? And so, many of the Achron already give Terutzim. So, the Shiltis, for example, we have a Shiltis somewhere here. The Shiltis assumes that the Kvisa Zod Chiyusa. For whatever reason, Kvisa really means Sakana. Kvisa is really sakana, and therefore, how does kvisa come lide sakana? I'm not exactly sure, but he assumes that to be true, and therefore, they're besakana, and so they can use the water for their sakana. They need it to drink. They need it for some other type of a sakana to prevent another type of a sakana. So it's one sakana versus another sakana. It's not tsar versus sakana. The hafla, Rav Adi finds hafla. He says the opposite, but it neutralizes the raya in the same way. Right, there's no sakana to drink. Oh, so gadol. Who told you to live there? Go live somewhere where there's a water source. It's loyitochen to say that tsar is going. Their tsar of their kvisas is going to come before the pikuach nefesh of the second city. So it must be not pikuach nefesh of the second city, and that's why it's mutter. Either way, either it's the sakana of the first city or not because of the second city, we're neutralizing this raya because it's hard to believe that this is true. This is especially in light of the fact that we saw that losam, it's at least chomish nechasav you have to give up. I would think going in that laundry for a little bit is at least chomish nechasav. It's certainly not more than kol mamono, and so you would violate losam al amrecha short of that. So what about the halacha by ksuvis that she can eat whatever she wants? Right? How can the Menekes eat whatever she wants and put the baby in danger, even if it's going to put the baby in danger? So we're going to see the same to Terutzim. Right? The Nish al David, Rabbi David Abraham says, no, that's a Taivas Machel Sheyesh Basakana. Right? You have to remember, the Gemara assumes that if a pregnant woman, maybe also a nursing woman, he assumes, wants to eat something and she doesn't get it, she could be Makom Sakana. So is that possible? I guess it's possible. It's not very likely, but it's possible because that's what they're talking about. She's b'makom sakana if she doesn't eat it. So, okay. So that's what the Halakas Machokek said. If she's b'makom sakana, so then she should do whatever she needs to live. And if the baby dies as a result, that's unfortunate. But she can't do it for her makom tsar. So he said, no. There's no real sakana there at all. And I don't have the who says the opposite, but there are achronim who say the opposite. No, the baby's not really, really going to be in a sakana. It's a sakana rachok ad me'od that we're not really chayshish for. The only shaila is, can the Baal me'akev and said, I'm chayshish for this suffix rachok ad me'od that normally we don't apply in halacha. It's so remote, it's so unlikely. But nonetheless, I want to be me'akev al yadech because I'm providing the money. And we say, no, he can't do that. But there's no real sakana facing me. So we see the same two terutzim to get out of this. What we see at the end is that the makom tsar is not going to allow you to get away with not performing the mitzvah of hatzalas nefashos. So will anything get you out of not performing the mitzvah of Tzalos Nefashos? So one of the first places we'll see it is in the Evan Bochein from the Yavitz. So it's a sefer Migdal Oz. But Evan Bochein, it's halachos on the, that's on page 10 here. It's the last line of the page. It's Oz Yud Gimel. V'chol Yisrael shel Avodah Zarah gilei arayas v'yuchos damim afal v'she'in bo misa el lav tzarech lahareg v'lo lavor. Okay? Fine? So, right? There's a case in Sanhedrin. Adam nasav ein of v'isha v'hel alibo tina, and he was going to go crazy and possibly die because he had such a tiber for this woman. Yomus v'al tamod l'fanav haruma. Right? It says, oh, he wants to have beer with her. So I can let her beer. He wants to just chibuk v'nisha. We're not going to allow chibuk v'nisha. He wants to just have negia. We're not going to allow negia. Just his stakos. We're not going to allow his stakos. He just wants l'sochech ima me'acher agader. He's not going to see her. And then we said, no, Yomus v'alisachachim achar agadir. That seems a little bit excessive. So below Talmud, one of the stages is Talmud Lefano Haruma. Right? So Velav Inos Yachazo, Shim Kane, Afilo Ainsham Isir Velav, Gam Kanye Behari Pelia, Hori Migzer Lava, Akum Lamod Arm Bifne Isha, Isha Ruma Bifne Isha, Shepherd Same Zet, Yimser Rotam Lahariga, Velayasu, Vizelo Shaman, Velad Asim Adam, El Al Karchach, Lomar, Achaz Mishtaim, Im Shaoso Maise Davar Acheru, Lefi Shagira Seitzer Harba, Asmashan Savain of Masha, Eno Shalo, Lachem Mishpatos Yomus, Kane Bain Moser Ravi Valtos, Or, if you go a couple of lines down, Ella mishum lasa da ha'isha, hu de bizyona de gufa havei lefachos, velo matzinu sha'adav chayev lehatzel chaveiro min ha'misa, de bizyon godol kazeh, shenogeya ad ha'nefesh. Right? You don't, right? She could save his life. The woman can say, look, he's going to die if he doesn't have, fulfill his taiva. Okay, we're not going to talk about whether that's medically possible or not. But he has his taiva, and if he doesn't fulfill that taiva, he's going to die. And she could fulfill that taiva by just standing in front of harumum. So it's a violation of tzinius. Okay. So no, because it's a bizayin gadol kazesh, she doesn't have to save his life. The bizayin gadol kazesh nogea ad nefesh. Kamo she'inu mechuyev lahatzilo be'ibud eiver me'ivarov. Right? You don't have to cut off your hand to save somebody else. So too, I don't have to stand in front of aruma, especially under these circumstances. So there is some level of that far you don't have to go. Okay? He says it again. Another page in the Evan Bochin. It's the same section of Evan Bochin. It's Ost Pei Gimel. So this is he's quoting the Beis Yosef, which HaGos Maimini. We'll see a little bit later. So because of Hashem Haram Rikanti, in the Pesachim, he says, "Im Amar LaShilton LeYisrael Hanachli LaKatzitz Ever Echad MeYivarecha Shein Chamis Bo V'Im Lav Amis Es Adam Chaverecha." All right, this is famous. We know this from the Radvaz. We'll talk about the Radvaz after. But an Akum comes and says, "Let me cut off your ear." Another Ever Shein Chamis Bo. Otherwise, I'll kill your friend. So okay, my ear is. I'm not. So do I have to do that? So he, the Haram Rikanti says, "Yesh Amar Shachayv LaNichos SheKatzitz LoEver V'Loshi Nicher SheYarget Chaveru." Right? He says, so he's upset about this. The point is he's upset about this. We'll see that right in the Red Vaz later. V'ein ra'i l'davar zeh she'yechuyav adam Yisrael she'einu rodef l'hatza b'echad me'evar b'saniyar tov mizulaso zelo shamanu. Right? It's not possible to do that. And he keeps going. Aval l'hefach shamanu b'gdulu mizot d'haino afilu b'ziona d'guf olo midchi k'mo she'katavnu l'mala b'sed yishmaya omnam nira d'rishusi mitzvah greda. Gam tzarichim b'sakana sefer, fine. Maybe it's a sakana skola guf, right? Aye, maybe cutting off your ear could be a sakana skola guf. Okay, fine. Maybe. V'avali she'enu me'ivarim roshiyim ha'matrifim gam yisurim kashim imarim nirish she'en tzarich listvel b'shvil atzalas chaveiro. The negida kashim imosa, right? So these yisurim kashim you also don't have to do. So cutting off an eiver, even one that's not she'nesham t'liyabo, or suffering yisurim kashim you don't have to do. So, what possibly could be pshat in that? So let's see the Radvaz, which is much more famous for saying this, which is, it's in Chelek Gimel, Simen Taf Resh Kaf Zayin, and some of the older Sfarim is called Taf Resh Kaf Hey. It's the same tshuva. It's a famous Radvaz quoted by the Be'er Heitav on the page of Shulchan Aruch. And it's just worth going through. It's a famous Radvaz. So he says, Sha'alta mimeni odia chadati al masra isa kosov. So this is the Maharam Rikanti. Im Amar Ashildon Yisrael Hanachi Lekatzitz Ever Echad Shein Chameis Mimenu O Amis Yisrael Chavercha Yisrael Shachayv Laniach Lekatzitz Ever Hoil Veino Meis Havei Arayi Midamrinu Bavazar Chash Veino Av Mutar Lekochla B'Shabbis Ulefarish Taimim Mishum Deshriyani De'ena B'Liv Atalia. Right? You're allowed to violate an Isser, seemingly an Isser Rabbanon here at least, but you're allowed to violate an Isser to save your vision on Shabbos, even though there'll be a seemingly Chil Shabbos, let's assume at least a Daraisa. Why? Because Shriyane De'ina believe Batalia. So let's again leave that aside. What that means? It means there's Pigoch Nefesh because of its the eyes are connected to the heart in some way, according to the Gemara, and so there's Pigoch Nefesh associated with. But however, Aver Acher Lo, you couldn't Mechal Shabbos to save another Aver that wasn't totally be Pigoch Nefesh. V'hashli Yabo Anido Mechal V'Chomer Uma Shabbos Achamura She'in Aver Echadocha Osa. He nidches mifnei pikuach nefesh. Ever echad she nidcha mifnei Hashabbos inu din she nidcha mifnei pikuach nefesh. V'ratzil adas im yesh lismoch al tam zeh. So he darshins a kal v'chomer from it, and we in fact paskin that halacha l'maisin shulchan aruch. You cannot mechal Shabbos for a sakanas ever b'doraisa. You can machal Shabbos with the Drabanan straight, according to the Shulchan Aruch. You don't need to have a Drabanan b'shinui, but you could not violate, and this is the Raisa for a Sakanas Eiver. This is a Sakanas Eiver belvad. There are very few modern-day Sakanas Eivers that don't relate to Sakanas Nefashos, practically, but that's a separate story. But if it was just a Sakanas Eiver belvad, we would not violate the Raisa. So he says, tshuva, zuminus chasidus, to have your, I guess, ear cut off, or something like that. Avaladin yesh tshuva, malas sakanas eiver shid Shabbos, shekhein ones da'asi mishmaya, b'lofirach ein sakanas eiver docha Shabbos, aval shiyovi hu ha'ones alav, impei chaveir lo shamanu. That far you don't have to go. V'tu dilma alidei chatichas eiver, afal bi she'eman shabbat liyevo, shema yetzem imenu dam harbe v'yamus. Maybe you'll die if they cut off your ear. And how come you can give up your life to save somebody else's? I saw someone die from paper cuts to their ear, he says, from blood loss from paper cuts, he's saying paper cuts, but small cuts to the ear. And so you see, you could die from anything, it's dangerous, be careful. It's a special drasha that we can that Pigoch Nevis Dokha Shabbos. I don't have to there's no Havamina even that I would have to get myself killed to say Chavero, to save my Chavero. Fine, you can't learn from Kalvachomer. The two on top of the next column, that Torah Amr Petzatach Petzach Kviyat Tachas Kviyah, that Filu Hachi Chosheshu Shem Al Idei Kviyah Yomus, that Torah Amr Ayn Tachas Ayn Velo Nefesh VeAyn Tachas Ayn Lachin Amr Shem Mishalim Mamon, fine. That Davar Barish Yosef Rafal Hu Sheyomus Min Kviyah Yosef Al Idei Chasir Chaseiver, that Filu Hachi Chayshin La Kol Shekem Nidon Didan, fine. A lot of Raya is that you don't have to give up, you don't have to go that far to put your life at risk. Okay, but let's say it's really not going to put your life at risk. Fine. Okay? You can mechal drabban, the sakana saver is a terrible thing. It's not darchea darche noam, seemingly borrowing from the Gemara in Yivamos in a completely different context. But it's not darchei noam to allow a guy to chop off your ear to save somebody else's life. Hilchach eini ro etam ledin ze elamidas chasidus vasrei chelko mishi yuchal lamod baze. Right? You don't have to. It's midas chasidus. V'miyesh sofek sakanas nefashos harei zachasid shote. The sveka didei adif midavadi dechavrei. Right? It says, well, if it's sofek sakanas nefashos, so then it is, then you're a chasid shote. So chasid shote means it's usur, or it's just not advisable. So we'll see. Different Achronim assume this differently. But it's not like you don't have to give up an aver and making from the Evan Bochin. So how do you understand this Radvaz, right? So he says, wait a minute, you could be risking your life. There were all these sakamas involved that you didn't think of to have the guy just chop off your aver that she ain't in the shamat liyabo. So you might be risking your life. You're definitely not mechuyev to risk your life. It might be usur to risk your life. To save someone else's. Again, we're not going to talk about that. How much do you have to do? We're going to start with the minimum today. Are you allowed to do that or not? So he says, to give up an Eiver, that's not Darchei Darchei Noam, even if there's no Sakana. And if there's a Sakana, so then you're a Chasid Shota. Okay, it doesn't mean it's Aser, but it definitely means you have no Chiyuv. So how do we understand this this Radvaz? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about, of all things, if you can imagine, about brain death. A lot of these issues come up in the brain death tshuvas. This is Yaradeya Chelek Bey, Simon Kufay Dalid. In the course of this tshuva, he relates to other things as well. If you look at this is Anaf Dalid. So this is a tshuva, is a response to Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak also wrote about the same topic, and he then added a pilpul about this other topic. I included the Minchas Yitzchak after here. You can see exactly what he says. But this is just the end of the Igros Moshe about it. So Anaf Dalid, he says, you have to give up a limb to save somebody else. So it's not really relevant to the earlier part of the tshuva because he wants to know if a person's dead or alive. So if they're dead, their chiyuvim are different than if you're alive. And we'll get back to this tshuva on page 14. But the kids are at the end of that tshuva. He says on page 16, the last line of that tshuva, the last page of that tshuva, the last chelik here. This tshuva is getting to the Michas Yitzchak. He says, so let's say the person's dead. So we're talking about living people, right? How far do you have to go? So let's say you have a cadaver. So hine olafishi, that's a chachma shlomo shnei svarshu tos, right? It's a bizayon to the mace. So who cares? It's a bizayon, right? He goes, that's according to chachma shlomo. We already said that's not true. V'gam divrei klechem da'inam klum mashnei svar, but ledina ha'emes shelek achiyuv. You don't have to give a chiyuv from the dead person. So he's relevant to us. Da'isa betos v'shabes tafimim dalid. The adam ba'ol al meso yoser me'al kol mamono, right? The ha iser hatsalami dleikahu after you serve kol mamono v'lochasu lahatir kadesh leyav lechibuyi b'mesik. Right? If there's a dleika and your whole house is going up in flames, you're not allowed to save your possessions. You're not allowed to put out the fire. Right? We're not going to allow you even the yisuri derabanan. You have to let everything go up, even though it's kol mamono. U'lahatzilas meso hitiru l'mashi ifsek hilchas like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish mitam di lo shari slo ati lechibuyi b'mesik mishum shemitzayir b'yoser. But will allow you to take out your mace into a chatzar she'inim o reves, because otherwise he'll go up in flames, and that will cause you extreme tzar, and you will come to mechabe b'mezid. The kevin shalom matzino el shetzarach lahotzi kol mamono, ein lanu l'chayev v'davar shu yoser mi kol mamono. V'u eitzel shemitztarim tuva kmo chatichas evre me'atzmo she'eno chayev. Right? He says kol mamono is a shir. How much is kol mamono? Well, it's all your money. All your assets. There are things that are worth more than all of your assets. Watching your loved one's body go up in flames is more than kol mamono. You don't have to do that. He says, so too, cutting an aver from yourself is more than kol mamono. You wouldn't have to do that. Umistaber shelo yemechuyev lehinatzel me'averes kol lavin aldei sheinaseh meiso lachat kol abazoso be'elu amitzarim tuva delo ne'emar elo tzas kol mamono v'lo b'yoser misek la'ashach shemekol machatzich hazer shel atzmo. And he continues, "Aval mitzvah vaday ikos shaf sheteva adam lehitzar tuval meiso yosem al kol mamono mistaber shechiyuv lekalze." You don't have to be so upset. V'lachin mitzvah shleitzar tuva v'yatzal nefesh v'ever shel meiso v'gam hamidas chasidus ikah ach lachnoch ever shel atzmo kedei lahatzil nefesh yishua kedei sevarad vaz u'mimele lahaniach lachnoch ever meiso gam mitzvah de lachnoch mechai ein lomar shi mitzvah me'achar shu tzar mochach de kol adam mitzar bezev lo shayach lomar shleitzar. Right? Even by chai. אבל באמת השייך למה שלא יצטער משם בכוח נפש, תפלוני מאחר שהוא דבר רוי לעשו, שלכן הוא גם מצווה שלא יצטער טובו, ויניח לך לך עבר בשביל הצלס נפש תעדיפה. He says the same thing applies to a living person. Giving up one of your Yavarim is worth more than kol mamono, we're not going to chay of you. Aye, but you're doing bikoch nefesh. So you shouldn't mitzvah. Right? Even though it's not shaykh, he says it's not shaykh that you won't mitzvah. He says you should get the fortitude together and not be mitzvah. So it's worth more than kol mamono. So what? Save his life, even at the expense of more than kol mamono. But a chiyuv, it certainly is not. Okay, so is that true regarding... Okay, so that's for an aver. We're going to say the same thing about blood. Drawing blood, he's assuming that it has to be kol mamono. So he's already taking a stand on the side of that lo sam odr is a... Even on the lav shein b'mais, you have to give up kol mamono. Fine. So... On the giving blood, let's say there's two types of giving blood, right? We have the directed donation. The chola is mamish l'faneinu right now, right? You can know the chasam sofer in the Nod Yehuda's language. There's a chola yeshva sakana l'faneinu right now, and we can save his life right now by giving him this blood. I'm going to say that giving my blood is worth more to me than kol mamono. I can only speak for myself. I don't think that's true. I personally don't think that's true, that giving up my blood is more than kol mamono. And I would think in that case, at least for myself, that I would have a chiyuv because my blood is not worth more than kol mamono. So if that's the shear, so then we're stuck. So what about, let's just talk about now, what about the normal situation of blood donation? Most people don't know the person we're giving the blood to. We're giving blood to a blood bank. So most postmen are going to tell us that we don't have a chiyuv to give blood to a blood bank. And you'll see we'll have a sefer b'damai chayi. I photocopy parts of it after, just because it's just so fascinating. A whole sefer about blood, and not about human blood and what you can do with it, and different psukim from different people issued on different things, and you have to wash your hands after you've donated blood, and shadim avatal Torah to donate blood, all sorts of interesting things from Scheinberg and Rav Eliashiv. Little short psukim that are hard to interpret, but are worthwhile to have in your back pocket when you need them. We'll get through it after. It's this section here. It's on page 41 for the next couple of pages, so 47. Interesting little psukim. But in most cases, people are going to assume there's no chol of a fanenu right now. And since there's no chol of a fanenu right now, I don't have a chiyuv. I don't have a chiyuv to give to the blood bank right now because there is no chol lefaneinu, and tomorrow there won't be a chol lefaneinu, and the next day there won't be a chol lefaneinu, and you know what? Even if I don't give, there won't be a chol lefaneinu because someone else could stand in my stead. Right? The likelihood is if I don't give blood, all the cholim will have enough blood. So I have no chiyuv to do so, but if I did, nonetheless, there's a mitzvah pikuach nefesh. Yeah. Okay, so so we said, how do you understand the Radvaz?
I was putting it over here, that's okay.
So we saw how to understand the Radvaz. Igros Moshe says that an aver is more than kol mamono, and so you don't have to go that far to do it. If you look in the Shevet Halevi, the Shevet Halevi appears after Minchas Yitzchak here, supposed to at least. It's chalakeis, I'm going to raise your test, you have to donate blood. He also assumes that, this is a question about donating blood, and he assumes that blood is also, depends on whether it's more than kol mamono or not than kol mamono, and he says, how can blood really be more than kol mamono? Giving a pint of blood, it should not be more than kol mamono, and it would be yotzei from the Shevet Halevi, at least, that you would have a chiyuv to give blood, again, assuming that there is a chol b'faneinu who needs it. That's the case he was actually asked about. Sometimes someone has a rare type of blood, and there's more than just the ABO subgroups that I mentioned. There are other antigens, there are other HLA factors that can involve, and it could be that someone has such a unique blood type and such a unique reactivity that they need a very specific type, and you might be that only person due to randomness, coincidence, call it what you want, hashgacha pratis, that you are the only person who they can find who matches that person, who matches that person's blood. You are the only person who can save that person's life, so do you have a chiyuv or not? He assumes you likely do. He relates to another point, which isn't necessarily true about platelets. The metzias here is wrong, and so he relates to it, and we'll see others relate to it, Sizileza relates to it, the metzias isn't like that. He assumes, well, they take out all your blood. They take out the parts that they want, and they put it back. So he says, that's taka sakana. Take out all your blood and put it back. That sounds dangerous, you shouldn't do that. That's not how we do it. That's not how we take platelets. They take out a little bit of blood, they do spin it out, take the platelets out and give you the blood back, but not all your blood at once and then give it back. So the level of sakana that's involved is microscopic, if it exists at all. Whatever mitzias he's describing, en achinami, would that have been the case, the halacha would be, then we could analyze the halacha from his perspective. That's not the mitzias. So I don't know what the mitzias was explained to him, but you shouldn't read from this and assume that platelet donation is going to cause you to die, and so it should be a sakana nefashis, and you shouldn't do it. We'll see that a little bit after, but it's important just to note, he says that, the Hitzelazer says that, it's just not the mitzias today. We'll talk about bone marrow donation in a couple of minutes, which is something similar, but could be a little bit different. So that's the first approach, to assume that Rav Vaz is about a shear. There's another way in the Rav Vaz, and this is the approach that Rav Moshe Sternbach takes, and Rav Schechter as well, and the Tzitzeliezer in one place. So if you look at Rav Moshe Sternbach on page 25, this is Chalak Hay of Chubas Van Hagos, Trumas Moach Etzem. So he's talking about bone marrow. So I guess let's just talk about bone marrow right now before he mentions it. So this is blood. We talked about blood donation, people who need blood for various reasons. A bone marrow donation, it goes to generally a patient. Bone marrow is the Moach Etzem that we learn in Yerodea and Tyrovus about, that's inside the bones, that has a Din Basar to it, and that's where the blood is made. There's something called blood stem cells. A stem cell is unique. So there are different types of blood cells. There are about tens of, even hundreds, of types of different types of blood cells. Probably tens. And they all have to generate from a progenitor cell. The stem cell has the unique ability that when it splits and it reproduces, it makes one stem cell and one something else. So it retains its ability to remain a stem cell, and then they differentiate to the various cells of the body. These are all made in the bone marrow. So a patient who has leukemia, for example, whose bone marrow is causing his cancer. So we can give him radiation and chemo as much as we want, but if we don't knock out his bone marrow, he's going to keep making these cancerous cells. Problem is that part of the blood cells that you make are the white blood cells that fight that are your immune system. And if we knock out this person's bone marrow and he doesn't make any blood cells, so not only does he not have blood, he doesn't have an immune system, and that's just really, really bad, and the person cannot live. So what we want to do is, well, knock out his bone marrow and give him somebody else's bone marrow. If we could do that, right? So we can't do that. We could knock out this person's bone marrow completely and then give him a whole new set of bone marrow. So now when you knock out someone's bone marrow completely, so again, when you have no immune system, so you can't fight infection, it's really bad. We keep you in isolation in the hospital. There are protocols to do it. We're very good at doing this, but nonetheless, that person is b'makom sakanas nefashos at that time. And then we need to get bone marrow from someone else. So how do you get bone marrow? How do you get healthy bone marrow? So it used to be that, and you could still do it today, it happens sometimes, is that we all have bone marrow because we're all making blood cells at all time, and we can take you into the operating room, cut you open, usually into the hip, dig into the pelvis bone over here, take out some bone marrow, And then inject and make, first of all, we have to make sure you're a match, right? It's the same type of matching, just much, much, much more specific. Is that we're not just giving you red cells, we're giving you a whole new immune system. And we can take out your bone marrow and give it to somebody else, and they hopefully will not reject it, it will be a match, and they will have a refuah shleimah. So what's involved in you doing this? So the involvement used to be, at least, and still done sometimes today, is you have to have surgery in order to cut into your pelvis bone and dig out the bone marrow. They're using drills. This is a big deal. We take the patient under general anesthesia. It's a complete surgery, and it's not painful while the surgery is happening because you're out, but it's pretty painful afterwards because they are digging into your bone to draw out the bone marrow. It's pretty deep inside because the Baruch Hu created us in such a way that our bone marrow shouldn't get lost when we fall. So it's protecting our own bone marrow, but to get it out then requires a whole ASIC. So this involves, we'll talk about Sakan in a moment, but it involves some element of risk of the anesthesia, which is not great, but there is some element of risk of anesthesia itself. And then there is Tsar. Is it Tsar of Yisurim Koshim that Ilmali Nagdua, that Chanan Mishael Nazaria? I don't know, but there is Tsar if you ask people who've had it done to them. So I know one person who had it done to him, but he's a firm guy, and he thought he was so elated that he was saving someone else's life. He's like, yeah, maybe it hurts a little bit, and he kept walking away. Like, he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want people to know that it hurt because he wanted to encourage people to do this. He wasn't walking exactly straight. He was limping a little bit. But I think that might come into the cheshbon. Tsar is a psychological thing. So if you just save someone's life, potentially, that I hope, at least, that should mitigate the tsar that you feel in doing so. So that's the way we used to do it. The way we do it today is very different. So these blood stem cells are kept in the bone marrow, right? So if we can get away, if we manage to get those blood stem cells, which is really what we want the bone marrow cells, the stem cells, to give to the other person, right? Because if we just give the other person your blood, so after those blood cells die, well, then what? After 120 days, your red cells die, and then this person needs another transfusion, another whole transfusion, a whole body transfusion, that's crazy, right? The point is that if I give him new stem cells, then he can make his own system from scratch and continue making his own system of cells, right? That's why I have to go into the bone marrow to get those stem cells. But if I can create a way to get those stem cells into your regular blood, well, then I could just take your regular blood. I don't have to dig into your bone. And so we can do that. We can give you an injection. It's called Neupogen. We give it to you about once a day for 4 days. A nurse will even come to your house to administer this. It's a little bit painful. It's an injection. And this will cause your bone marrow to put blood stem cells into your peripheral blood, the blood that flows throughout your body. Right? You won't lose your blood stem cells. You'll just be making a lot of them that your bone marrow just pumps them out into your regular bloodstream. And then what you do is on the day of donation, you go to the place where you're donating it. They stick one needle into one arm, one needle into another arm. They take out, as the Shevet Halevi and the Sicilians say, all of your blood, just not at once, put it through a machine, a pheresis machine. They filter out the stem cells and give you the rest of your blood back. You can sit there. You can watch television. You don't have to watch television. You can learn a sefer while you're doing it. There are guys in our base medrash who have done this, have been back for afternoon seder that very day. Some people need to take a nap. It's a little bit, because it's still a little bit, I mean, taking, it's not like a little bit of blood they're taking out. They're taking out a significant amount of blood and putting it back. You could get a little dizzy, a little nauseous. Again, I don't believe this is tsar that's going to exempt you from kol mamono again, but there are some people who don't go to work the rest of the day. There are guys that get in the base medrash. One of them's not in the base medrash anymore, but he was. And he was here for afternoon seder. So, what's the deal with that? So these injections make you feel a little bit not so well for those 4 or 5 days. They say they either make you feel like you're having the flu sometimes or that you feel like you're pregnant. Anyone who's married, they might know that this is not like the end of the world. That tsar is not more than called mamono. Women undergo this voluntarily all the time. The flu is less comfortable. Not everybody gets symptoms of the flu. So it's much simpler to do right now. Nowadays, people need to know that. I think that's very important. We frequently don't need to do surgery. You don't get put out for this. It's mamash, one needle in this arm, one needle in arm, and you can learn while it's happening. Right? I mean, my point is you're completely awake, and this isn't knocking you out terribly. And we'll talk. So there is some element, which I'll just allude to the next point, about sakana in this injection. So what is this injection we're giving you? It's Neupogen. Neupogen originally was developed as a treatment for cancer patients who need to make more blood cells for whatever reason. And so even if there's sakana associated with this medication, the cancer patient says, well, you know, given the odds of this being bad for me or the cancer being bad for me, I'm going to opt for the treatment, even though there might be side effects. Every treatment has side effects, even though Moxil has side effects, but we take it without thinking. So everything has some amount of side effects. So we only recently started giving this Neupogen to healthy people. We used to give it to cancer patients as a treatment. So what about the healthy people? So we don't believe it causes any problems. However, the studies are only, I think, 10 years old, because we haven't been doing this more than 10 years or so. Approximately 10 years. Don't quote me on that. Approximately 10 years or so. We don't have studies on longer-term effects. Is it possible that this may cause a sakana in the future? It's certainly possible. We don't have any reason to believe that's true, but it's certainly possible, and what we believe is completely irrelevant, because we're, you know, we're shocked every day. Oh, my gosh, I didn't believe that yesterday, and then we learn that it's true, especially in science. There are a few cases of a splenic rupture after this injection. It was unclear what that was related to, one or two cases. I don't have the data on that, but most people will assume that this is really, really, really low risk. The one guy that I knew who actually had the surgery, he opted for the surgery because his mother was making him crazy not to have the injections, which I'm not saying is right, wrong, or otherwise, but he opted, he didn't want the injection, he was afraid of it, but he wanted to do this, and so he opted for the surgery, even though you can make the argument maybe that it's, you may have a less of a chiv to do the surgery than you would have had to do this, but he really was excited to do this, he was just nervous about the injection. So he had the surgery again, and he was fine. So on bone marrow, fine. So back to Sternbach. Sternbach, Chibas on Hagas Halakhei. So you chumach moats. Sam, do you have to give, sorry, page 25? In the third paragraph, Inesh Ladash, Imaker Adim, Ein Adam Chayav Latet Chelek Migufo, Vahainu Chiyuso, Lahatzil Chavero. You don't have to give a part of your body, Dahainu Chiyuso, whatever that means, Lahatzil Chavero. Umihai Taimach Shemavachim Adam Litrum Klaya Lachavero, a kidney, which we'll talk about after, Vitanim Shein Bezenidu Sakana, Ne Tainin, there's no Sakana. It's a packed paragraph over there, but he says that you don't have to give a part of your body, dahainu chiyuso, whatever that means, part of your chiyus, and ki adam hu anefesh, so we're talking about dam, so at least I can understand what he's talking about. And even though they tell you there's no sakana, they don't know. And so your bone marrow, also the blood that you give, will come back. The bone marrow will come back. It takes a little bit of time, but then it regenerates back. He goes, that's the mechuvar called sarcho. Okay? I don't want to tell you. We know it comes back. We've checked people. It comes back. What about in the interim? Maybe it doesn't come back immediately. Maybe that's what he's referring to. Not sure. And therefore, you have no chiyuv. But he says, it's not a din in the shear. It's a din, you don't have to give a part of your body. You never have to give a part of your body, at least chiyuso. Or Shechter just assumes he leaves out the chiyuso part. He says you don't have to give a part of your body to save somebody else's life. I'm required to spend money. He says, kol mamono doesn't mean kol mamono, but ad kan. Kol mamono is not a shear. Kol mamono means everything you have. Kol mamono means everything. That's just a way of describing everything. It's not a shear that there's nothing above it. And so he says, yeah, but nonetheless, you don't have to give up part of your body. Giving up part of your body is a separate, unique aptur that you don't have to give that up for, even for pikuach nefesh. And so if you look then, about the kidney, he has the next chupa he has about kidneys, and he says it's talking about an Eivor HaMechaye. You don't have to give up an Eivor HaMechaye. And what is an Eivor HaMechaye? He says a kidney wouldn't have to give up because it's an Eivor HaMechaye, because if I took out both of your kidneys, you would die. Okay, but I'm not taking out both of your kidneys, I'm only taking out one of your kidneys. So if it proves it's an Eivor HaMechaye, it keeps you alive. Okay, so you can think of that philosophically, maybe. So to your dam, if I took out all your dam, you would die. But I'm not taking out all of your dam, I'm only taking out a little bit. But nonetheless, it's an Eivor HaMechaye, seemingly, and so therefore it's not required. Rav Shechter just thinks you don't have to give up any part of your body. It's a separate patur, that no part of your body, that's what the Radvaz is teaching us. It's not that you have no chiv to give up part of your body at all. The Tzitz Eliezer says a similar idea. Right after that, it's on page 28 over here. I'm not going to read it inside, just because it's getting a little late. But he's a similar idea. You don't have to give up part of your body. He then, the Tzitz Eliezer comes up with a unique sita to the Tzitz Eliezer, which he frequently does. He says, well, wait a minute. I have a problem with dam. We know that a revius dam is considered a chiyus, right? That's why it's metame ba'ol, because it's a chiyus of kol haguf. It's a neshama tluyabo. And so you have absolutely no chiyus to give up your chiyus. You don't have to give up your life to save somebody else. And if you're giving up more than the revius, and I don't care how you cheshbon the revius, a pint is going to be bigger than your chazon ish or revius. You're usually giving up a pint of blood. You have no chiyuv to do so. Maybe it's even usher to give up your chiyus to save somebody else. Can I choose to kill myself to save somebody else? We assume not. And therefore, he says, giving up a revius of blood might be a problem of that. But in addition to that, you don't have to give up part of your body. It's a separate Isser. You don't have to give up part of your body at all. Fine.
So does he say there's a problem of giving blood?
He suggests there might be. He doesn't take that to the logical extreme, but he says you definitely don't have no chiyuv. So, okay, so getting back to that issue, so Rabbi Blei points out in the contemporary halachic problems, I'll do it outside, you can read it inside, it's in English, that, well, you don't have to give up part of your body, he thinks in the Radvaz, even when you're talking about a shear, in Rav Moshe, well, it's a shear, giving up part of your body is more than called mamono l'choro. So Rabbi Blei says, well, okay, because that's, they won't, you know, if you cut off your hand, you lost your hand, and that's it. But if it's regenerative, it will come back again, you can't tell me that's more than called mamono. So anything that would regenerate, your hand doesn't regenerate. But if it would be something that regenerates, then even for Rav Moshe, even if you thought that giving a part of your body was more than kol mamono, something that regenerates would not be bechlal that, and therefore blood and bone marrow would not be bechlal that at all, and therefore would seemingly be less than kol mamono, and you would have a chiyuv. Rabbi Shechter says the same thing, even though he's not having the opposite svara. Rabbi Shechter is saying, well, you don't have to give a part of your body, it's a separate tour, you don't have to give a part of your body. But yesh lodun, if something that regenerates, the Gemara doesn't call it gizomachlif, but it's kain, gizomachlif is really considered part of your body that you don't have to give up. He was mistopic. Maybe bone marrow and blood, because it regenerates, isn't bichlal that tour at all. So, Rav Moshe Herzler himself has an article in the back here, we'll see it after. He has a separate thing. He says, no, an aver has a din of sakana. And giving up part of your body has a din of sakana, and you never have a chiyuv to misakan yourself to save someone else. So it's hard to say that giving up your blood, if you donate blood, it has a din of sakana, it would be aser. It can have a din of sakana, but practically there is no sakana, so how do you deal with that? So he deals with that a little bit after. So what about bone marrow then? So would you have a chiyuv? Would you not have a chiyuv? So let's say, according to Rabbi Blei, Svara, that in Rav Moshe, that really the p'tur is a shear, don't give a part of your body because it's more than kol mamono, but something that regenerates is not bechlal that, so do I have to give, am I have a chiyuv to give bone marrow? Again, so how do we do bone marrow? So I told you the process, but how do we find you? How do we find this one match? Now, to give bone marrow, the matching is a lot more specific. It's not just, are you type A positive or O negative? Much more specific, HLA, BC, it's a little bit more complicated, not for now. So how do we find you? So we try to get everyone's genetic profile. So they will ask, they come around all the time, you can take a cheek swab, put a Q-tip inside your mouth, and they can take a couple of cells from the inside of your cheek that you didn't even know you were missing. They can examine them and have a genetic profile of you, legabe bone marrow donation. And they put you in a registry, and it's wonderful. And so this is a little bit of a vague match, right? This match that they get from the cheek cells is berech. So they'll give you a call, and they'll call the top 50 matches, or 100 matches, depending on where you are, and then they'll test you even further to see, well, are you really a precise match for this person or not? My wife was called once. She went down. She didn't make it to the second round, but I've never been called. So that's how you find out. So do you have a chiyuv to go and get tested? So all the poskim say, no, you don't have a chiyuv to go and get tested because you don't know. There is no chol b'faneinu that you can save. There is no chol b'faneinu that you can save because you have no idea if you're a match. And the ruba is that you are not. That's just statistics. You are not, and therefore you have no chiyuv to do so. Again, I would think that this is a good thing to do, especially because it's not the biggest deal, and you're saving the fashos here again. It'll get back to the issue we spoke about earlier, but we're not going to talk about that now. But let's say they call you, and you're a match. So now what? They call you and you're a match. So what do you do now? So Rabbi Blei would say you have a chiyuv to donate bone marrow. You can choose to do it you can choose whichever way you want. He's mistopic. He thinks you even have a chiyuv to do the surgery because he thinks the risk of anesthesia is so low. It's bechlal bechlal shomer p'sayim Hashem. Not going to that right now, but that's not a risk that comes with the cheshbin. And the tsar that you suffer from the surgery, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It exists. It could be painful. It could be debilitating, but it's not more than called mamono. And you would have a chiyuv even to do the surgery. Kol shekein to do the peripheral, the way we do the pheresis today. Rabbi Shechter would think you have a chiyuv. Would think you have a chiyuv. Rabbi Shechter says you still have no chiyuv. He's mistapek. You have no chiyuv to give up part of your body. He's mistapek when it regenerates, whether or not you have such a chiyuv or not. Okay. So just moving past that for a moment, you can see we can have halakha problems inside. I also photocopied parts of the Nishmas Avram here who highlights and summarizes part of this issue. You can see it there if you want to see a quick summary. He's a good place to look. The last piece here is in Rav Moshe, is on page 39. He wants to know, can I sell my blood? I want to give to a blood bank, but they're paying people to sell their blood. I know if you've read Freakonomics, they tell you that that's not an effective way to get more blood into the blood system. because you have no incentive anymore. People think that the incentive is more altruistic, and when you don't offer money, more people donate blood than when you offer money. Okay, ayin sham for reasons, but is it mutter or aser? Whether it's a good idea or not, we can leave to Freakonomics. So he says, taka it's chavala. To be aser. So normally we say, okay, pikuach nefesh, not pikuach nefesh, we have all the cheshbonos. He says, but let's say it's to a blood bank, and there are no Yisraelim on the list, and you're not going to be kind of mitzvah pikuach nefesh, so is it mutter or not? So he says, well, in the time of the Gemara, they did akaza stam all the time. They took out blood, so it must be healthy. So it can't be a bad thing. So if they did it all the time, it's good for you, so it's lav shmei chavala. It seems like that's not called chavala, because it's good for you. If it's good for you, it's not called chavala, and therefore it should be fine to do. He's not saying whether it's wise or not wise. Again, this is the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do. He said, we shouldn't need no iser of chavala in this case. He does not say a different svara, though, that b'makom refuah, it's not chavala. Right? We assume that you have surgery all the time. Right? There are a lot of surgeries that happen that are not necessarily for the most pikuach nefesh reasons, but there's an iser chavala when we cut open. So many of the poskim say, b'makom refuah, even not a refuah, pikuach nefesh, is lav shmei chavala. Chavala refuah is not chavala at all. And therefore, it's a hafka. There's no chavala in that. So he does not say like that. He just says it's healthy for you. So donating blood is healthy for you, and therefore there would be no iser. I don't know if donating bone marrow is also bichlal hakazastam. Maybe the new way of doing it would be bichlal hakazastam, and therefore it would be healthy for you, and therefore it would be mutter to do with that prohibition.
Doesn't he imply in that tshuva against? He said he implies that einachem is true, but there's no refua here because there's not necessarily someone going to receive the blood.
No, he thinks it's healthy for you to get the hakazas
right,
done.
And that's the answer he has to come to because he can't say that there's necessarily a refuah coming from this.
Right, because he doesn't know who it's going to.
Right, but he implies if you know it's going to someone who needs it or who sort of needs it.
Well, it might be kuch nefesh, so it'll be mutter.
No, it's mutter kuch nefesh. That if it's.
We can argue after. He doesn't say it explicitly. We can, if you want to medayik from that, we can look at it after if you want. I'm happy to. Any other questions? Okay. So let's just move on. You can see the Sefer B'Damai Chai, which has all these interesting psukim about blood and blood-related issues, and whether you should mevatel Torah or not mevatel Torah, where should you do it, and don't do it with B'tah Roves, and it should be, you know, separate schools and separate genders, etc. Okay, fine. Doing a mitzvah should not cause any iser. Fine. So the last thing, actually, that I want to mention in this context is, I don't know where I put it. I don't know where it is. It was an article in Asya. An article in the last Asya. There was a woman who needed a blood transfusion, who needed a bone marrow donation in Eretz Yisrael, from Lady. She had cancer once. This is her second time having cancer. She got better. She needs a bone marrow transplant, and they found one person to give it, and the person agreed. And so they started eradicating the recipient's bone marrow, right? I said, you have to get rid of her. She had leukemia now. You have to get rid of all of her bone marrow to come and give her the new one. So she's now sitting in the hospital, and when we take the bone marrow from the donor, it needs to be fresh. It works a lot better when it's fresh. And so we need to have the recipient ready and waiting. 24 hours or 36 hours after we get the bone marrow from the donor, we're going to give it to the recipient. The recipient is now waiting in the hospital with no immune system, and they come to the donor, and they give her the first injection, and they come back the next day to give her the second injection, and she says no. And what do you mean no? She completely refuses. This is a firm lady. She completely refuses under any and all circumstances. She is the only match, and there's no one else available to her. They explained to her that without her bone marrow, this lady is going to die. She continues to be stubborn. She is offered much monetary incentive, both over the table, under the table, a lot of incentive. She continues to say no. And then this woman received a bone marrow donation from her daughter, which was not a match at all. But they figured they don't have a choice, and she died the next week. So Rav Moshe Sternbach was asked the following question: what could we have done halachically in the Medina Ta'alacha to this woman to force her to give the bone marrow? And he assumes that might be Ritzicha B'Shev Al Taisa, or the first Reb Chaim. That's very interesting, is that Ritzicha B'Shev Al Taisa or not Ritzicha B'Shev Al Taisa. Regardless, it would certainly be, at that point, it would be a mitzvah saseh, and we're kofin al mitzvah saseh, we don't have to go that far. Meaning, if it's Ritzicha B'Shev Al Taisa, she's Harag Valyavar, and she's a Rodef, and we can kill her, and killing her doesn't help us. Right? It makes the situation worse. So could we be Kofel Mitzvah Saseh? So he says, yeah, you could have been Kofel Mitzvah Saseh, but it's a terrible, horrible situation. It usually doesn't occur, and people are usually able to be spoken into these things. Even in the Israeli form that you sign, when you agree to give the bone marrow, you say that I know that once this procedure starts, if I don't follow through with it, this person will die. And she signed up for that. So if she signed up for that, maybe then she could be a gram ratzicha, because it's nasa al piha. Fine. Whatever it is, it's a horrible, terrible, evil thing. But nafkamina is one, meaning once, even if you think once they call you, you have no chiyuv to give it, because it's part of your body. At this point, once you signed up and then you said no, and it's nasa al piha, maybe then you have a chiyuv to do it. And if it's maybe it's a kofin al mitzvah. Fine. So now let's talk about kidneys. So in the United States, as of last night, I checked, the database is updated every like couple of minutes. There are 116,000 people waiting for organs, patients whose organs are deteriorating, and the only way they can be kept alive is with an organ transplant. Out of 116,000 patients waiting, 94,000 of them are waiting for kidneys. That comes out to a little bit more than 81%. I checked it before. I can't do that in the head. But more than 81% of the people waiting for organs are waiting for kidneys. Kidneys, so in medical school, there are always the cardiocentric people and the nephrocentric people. Nephrons are the functional unit of the kidney. What's the most important organ of the body, heart or kidneys? And they argue, right? That's why Hashem is bochen kolyos v'lev. And I always thought that if I would practice medicine, I would want to be a nephrologist, so I have a kidney doctor. So I always have I like kidneys. I think they're very important. I talk about them. And if we really want to save the maximum number of lives, we should really focus on blood, bone marrow, and kidneys. Because, again, 81% of those people, 94,000 out of 116 are waiting for kidneys. For example, hearts, which get a lot more play in the press in each year, there are 3,000 people waiting for hearts. I'm not saying that they're not important. I'm not saying we shouldn't save their lives. But there are 94,000 people waiting for kidneys. So what can you do for kidney failure? You can put someone on dialysis. Kidneys are filters for the blood, and they help you maintain blood pressure and do an infinite number of other things. And so we can put someone on dialysis, and if their kidneys fail, we can hook them up to a machine. Again, take blood out of here, put a needle in here, go through a machine, and filter out the blood for them. It's a miserable existence because we're used to having our blood taken care of at every moment. Our kidneys adjust. Fascinating. It's fascinating. Our kidneys take care of us at every moment and adjust, and these people are going to dialysis two or three times a week, and so they have ups and downs in their mood and how they feel, and then you have to sit in this dialysis machine for hours and hours and hours. Several times a week, it's not the best existence. They would do much better if they had a kidney transplant. A kidney transplant is from live kidney transplants. A living kidney transplant is the best type of kidney transplant because we are all have very healthy kidneys. That's why we're alive right now. Giving this to another person would afford them to have that opportunity, and they will live much longer with a kidney transplant. Almost all patient populations will live much longer with kidney transplant than they will in dialysis. And if the survival rate of the recipient is higher if they've never had dialysis before. So the earlier you get your transplant, not only the longer you live, but because it should all add up at the end. No, it's the earlier you get your transplant, you will actually have a more benefit in terms of survival afterwards. Even if you had dialysis once, it's better to have none than to have it. Except for, I think the statistic was African American men, middle aged African American men, it doesn't make a difference for them, for whatever reason. But kidney transplants will help the recipient live a very full life. We have two kidneys, and maybe it comes from who gave us two so that we can help someone else who needs a third. And so when this person needs an extra kidney, we don't actually take out the diseased ones, we just leave them in, because why do unnecessary surgery? We just know they have three kidneys, and they have this healthy one. So we're going to talk now about a little bit of risk. To take out your kidneys is a lot more than taking out your blood. This requires surgery. You have to go in and to an operating room. This is a big deal, taking out an internal organ. Tying up things. This is a big deal surgery. I was up at a C1 once. Actually, people I know was a son donating to his father, and I watched the kidney come out, and then I followed the kidney to the next room, and I saw them put it into the father, and I knew them personally, and it was really cool. Watched his son save his father's life. It was really amazing. There's just in this context, just so you know, there's a sefer called Klayas Yotzos. Avram Ravitz was a Haver Knesset from a Gudah or a Degel. It was before Yadus HaTorah Mu'uchedes, so they weren't Mu'uchedes at the time. So it was one of the parties. He was a Chaver Knesset, and he had 10 children, Haredi member of the Knesset, and he had a kidney disease, and he needed a kidney. And he knew he needed a transplant, because dialysis wasn't helping him so much, and he refused to take it from his children, who were the best match. Again, you have to match again the whole thing, again, just like bone marrow, a little bit less than bone marrow maybe, more than blood. But you have to be a match. So his children were all matches, and he refused to take it from them. He says, I'm their father. I'm a giver. I'm not a taker from them. I don't want to take it from them. They said, we're going to take you to Din Torah. And the story is that they were on their way after Rav Eliashiv to Din Torah, and he said, fine. Okay. So now they have 10 children, I think 8 boys. And they said, well, who's going to donate the kidney? And they all wanted to be Zochan. The Smiths of donating the kidney. And they had a whole argument. Now, who should be Zochan? Let's say that all the kidneys were equivalent in medically. Who should have the schus of donating this kidney to their father to be kind of this mitzvah? And it came down to whether it was the oldest, because he was the Bechar, or the one who was Mishtadel in it. It was Ani Mahatach Becharara. And he was the one who really pushed his father to do it. And in the end, they did a goral. Alfi and Bekubel told them to do. They couldn't come out to a solution. Rav Yasha told them to do a goral. Bekubel told them to do a goral. And it came out to be the Bechar. And they wrote the sefer called Klayos Yoatzos about what to do. How do you choose who has the schus to mekayim this mitzvah? I think that's a story we should always tell with kidney donation. It's a tremendous mitzvah. We should be fighting about who has the schus to mekayim these mitzvahs. But do you have a chiyuv to do this mitzvah? Right? These are children opting to do it for their father. So what is the risk of kidney donation? So I printed three articles here. I didn't want to include them again because it changes. There's an article from 2010, an article from 2002, and an article from 1992. And I'll just do time's running out, so we'll look at the last one from 2010. The surgical risk of dying within 90 days of kidney donation is 3.1 per 10,000 donors. Okay? And that has not changed in the last 15 years. Again, this was written in 2010. Which you would have thought it might have changed in the last 15 years, because we do the surgery a little bit differently. Usually we used to cut you open completely. Now we do laparoscopic surgery. We make little holes and stick in like robotic arms. So you would have thought it would have been lower, but it hasn't changed. 3.1 per 10,000. Higher in men than women, 5.1 per 10,000 versus 1.7 in 10,000 for women. There are always more women donors than men. It's like 43% men and 57% women. Differences in race. Black versus white versus Hispanic is 7.6 in black per 10,000, 2.6 in white, and 2.0 per Hispanic. And then whether you had hypertension or not, high blood pressure before or not, but there were only two patients who qualified for this. And here they're looking at more than 6,000 donors. So I don't know what you think, whether 3.1, you have to categorize yourself more specifically. You can't just say 3.1 because you're not an average person. Everyone here is a white male. And so you have to figure out, well, for white men, what's the chiyuv? You can't just say, well, the chiyuv in Gonson is like this. And if you don't have hypertension, so then you wouldn't qualify for that. You'd have to do it lower. So here it seems to be around 2.7, both men and women, Caucasian white men and women, per 10,000. So is that a sakana? Is it not a sakana? I have no idea. So age is also a factor. They're reporting it overall. If you look again in the data here, there are many more older people. The difference is significant. And as older you get, the more likelihood of... There's two factors. We're talking about within 90 days of surgery, so that's not so much. But we're talking long-term. This also assesses long-term survival, and there has not been many problems in long-term survival. In the United States, if you donate a kidney, and then you subsequently have kidney problems, so then you get moved up to the top of the list as a recipient, because you donated yourself. They've shown that if you compare these 6,000 people to 6,000 age-matched equivalents, there is no higher risk of kidney failure, even though you only have one kidney. There are some papers coming out now, I saw it last night, about maybe there is a chronic kidney disease issue, maybe there's not, maybe there is. Talking about 20 or 30 years ago, 20 or 30 years down the line, these other articles talking about 37-year follow-up. I mean, we're talking about many, many years, and maybe it seems to be that there may possibly be some element of sakana in the future. So what do we do about sakana? Are you mechuyev to machnes atzmo b'sakana to matzel chaver mivadai sakana? This person is going to die earlier unless they have a kidney. They will die within 3 years, and if I give them a kidney, the likelihood is they will live 10 years. That the Magen Avraham says is clear pikuach nevesh. We're done by 2:30, right? So that one here. Okay, fine. So do you have the machnes atzmo b'malkam sakana the matzel chaver mivadai sakana? So the first Mayer Malkam on this is Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is pretty... Oh, here it is. Okay, fine. The Beis Yosef assumes, quoting Hagos Mordechai based on Yerushalmi, that you do have such a chiyuv. He doesn't tell you what the Yerushalmi is. The Sma points out that, yeah, even though he thinks that Hagos Mordechai, says you have a chiyuv based on Yerushalmi, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin that lahalacha. It's not in the Rambam, and therefore we don't paskin like that. So what is the Yerushalmi? It's Yerushalmi in Trumos Perek Ches, Halacha Dalid. It seems there that it's Machlokas Rabbi Yonatan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Ami was taken hostage. And Rabbi Yonah says, oh, he's going to die. And it seems like Reish Lakish says, he says, I'm going to risk it and go save him.
Do we have these in our...
Yes, it's page 56. Sorry, I'm just going quickly. I apologize because time's running out. But page 56 is Yerushalmi. Rav Ami is taken captive and Reish Lakish seems to say, you know, either I'll get killed or I won't save his life, and I'm going to go for that. And based on that, that's what the Acharonim assume was the Hagos Maimonides Raya from the Yerushalmi, that you do have to machnes atzmo b'sakana l'hatzel chaver mivadai sakana. So even though it's a sakana, you still have to be machnes atzmo to save that person's life.
Have to or allowed to?
Have to. You'd have to. That's Hagos Maimonides. Ah, good question. So, if you look on page 58, there's another Radvaz. This is the lesser-known Radvaz. It's in the Lashonos HaRambam, otherwise known as Chelek Hey. Simon Reis Yud Ches. He says, what's shot in the Rambam of Lo Samon Al Dam Reyecha? So, we're not going to read it inside right now, but he pretty much says that, it's on page 58, that if there's less, if the risk to you is less than 50%, this is a chiyuv of lo samar, there's a violation of lo, if you do not save the person, you violate lo samar al dam reyacha. If the suffix is shakul, 50-50, or more than 51%, sakana to you, you are potter. There's no lo samar al dam reyacha. So any risk less than 50%, there is a lo samar al dam reyacha. That's what he explains in the Rambam. So is that a steer to what he was saying before? Very good question. All the Achronim ask who realized this Radvaz. Now, the Radvaz wrote thousands of chuvas. And so most people quote the first Radvaz and don't quote the second Radvaz. So how do you miyashiv the Radvaz? You have a stira, did devrei haradvaz. Sorry, I have a list of, there are many people give the yishuv to this. They assume that the assumption is that the Radvaz in Taf Reis Kaf Hey, or Taf Reis Kaf Zayin in Chelek Gimel, the one we saw earlier, is talking about when there's a sakana, you're a chassid shota, when it's more than 50%. And they say, chassid shota means aser. Alternatively, they say, no, chassid shota is when it's safek ashokul. And then you're a chassid shota. More than 50%, that's aser. But less than 50%, according to the Radvaz, it would seem like you have a chiyuv. You have to be matiz atma b'sakana, safek sakana, lahatzel chaver, mivadai sakana, as a chiyuv, would seem to be yotze from the Radvaz. Now the Radvaz says, well, what about, I was careful with what I said. Maybe what about cutting off an aver? The Radvaz says, that's not darchei darchei noam. Right? That's a separate inyan. But do you have to machnis yourself the sakana, the matzal chaver mivadai sakana, would yotze from the Radvaz, when the suffix sakana that you use less than 50%, it's yotze from the Radvaz that you indeed would have to. Now, do you have to give up your kidney? The Radvaz would likely tell you, no, it's not darchei darchei noam. But it's not darchei darchei noam because you wouldn't have to give up your kidney. Just while we're on this, what does darchei darchei noam mean, right? The Radvaz is pulling this seemingly from Yevamos, which is not really relevant, or he's just understanding shot in the pasuk. It seems like the Igros Moshe thought it was a shear of kol mamono. It's more than kol mamono to have to give up part of your body. No one wants to give up part of their body in order to, they'd rather give up kol mamono instead, and therefore you have no chiyuv to do so. So if you think it's a shear, so then I think you'd have to... So the question is now, when you cheshven out... So I was having a discussion with my chavrusa if this is true or not. Does that mean that either how much would you rather give me than me take out your kidney? All your money? Now what if I throw your kidney in the garbage after that? Right? That's what the Radvaz's case was. The guy says to him, let me cut off your hand, your arm, your whatever, your ear, or I'll kill the guy. And what's going to happen to your hand, your arm, whatever? It doesn't make a difference. Are you willing to do that? I think most people would say, no, I'd rather give up my money than just lose a limb for no reason. So the cheshven is now, well, I'm not losing a limb for no reason. I'm going to be matzel nefesh achas miyisrael. That's a big deal. I get very excited about this. You're mekayim the mitzvah pekuach nefesh. So is that part of the cheshven? Because I'm willing to give up a little bit more. I'd be willing to pay more if I knew that I was saving a life in the process. Right? I would be willing to sacrifice a little bit more than just some. It's going to nothing. I would also suggest, and that's completely lefini staiti, that the Radvaz is dealing with just... It's a crazy case, right? Chop off your arm, or I'll kill the other guy. Now, let's assume we say you have to chop off your arm. And then the next day, the guy comes to the next house and chops off everybody's arms. I see why that's not dacher dacher noam. I see that mitzad, it's just not a good way. It's the same idea like pidyon shvuyim. We don't put the SR al dmeim, so we shouldn't encourage this in the future. The same idea. And I think also, again, Lefini stated completely, that when it's just being used for no reason, so it's a completely external pressure, let me cut off your arm, I'll kill that guy. So that's not darchei noam. What is darchei noam? To lose your limbs for absolutely no reason because some guy's mishugana? I would argue, at least I understand darchei noam. If I'm saving a life with my kidney and it's going towards a constructive purpose, I could see that not necessarily being a violation of darchei noam. No one says that. Again, no one wants to say that. Everyone quotes, it's not darchei noam. But I would just point out that it's not the case of the Radvaz for two reasons. First of all, and if we went around cutting out everybody's kidneys, we'd save 94,000 people, right? I mean, it's not that It would help. It wouldn't hurt anybody, right? It wouldn't hurt the patient population. And B, I think that performing the mitzvah should come into the cheshbon of the tzar and into it being darchenu. But that's completely, no one quotes this. So the yishuv for the Radvaz is pretty much everyone says the same yishuv in the Radvaz. They say there's a steer in the Radvaz. They say no, less than 50% is a violation of losamer, and you have a chiyuv. More than 50% is either chasid shota and it's aser, or chasid shota and it's mutter, depending on how you want to read it. And that's yishuv in the Radvaz. Almost everyone gives the same yishuv. Rav Avadia famously did that in a tshuva. It's in Yabi Omer Chalik Test, here in the packet. He published it in Dine Yisrael in 1976, and people already got a hold of it. And some people therefore assumed, and I just make sure we get this in, that therefore Rav Avadia thinks you have a chiyuv to donate your kidney. Because according to Radvaz, if you don't add the part about the Aver part, but about the Machnes Hasmo Besavik Sakana, Lahatzach Avermi Vadai Sakana, donating a kidney is not Vadai Sakana. According to anybody, there's no Vadai Sakana. Is there a Savik Sakana? Maybe. Is it? Maybe there's Savik Sakana, right? If we're going to say that the 2.0 in 10,000 is something we take into consideration at all. Is it less than 50%? I'm not a statistician, but it certainly is less than 50%. So according to Radvaz, you would have a chiyuv to Machnes Hasmo Besakana, Besavik Sakana, Lahatzach Avermi Vadai Sakana. And therefore they write, and Dr. Steinberg writes this in his encyclopedia, that according to Rav Avadia, there is a chiyuv to donate your kidney. Now, that's not necessarily, that's not true. I know for a fact, I heard it from him, from Rav Avadia himself. When I saw this in Dr. Steinberg, I didn't believe wrote it, that it said that I asked his grandson to verify from Rav Avadia himself that he doesn't hold that, which he did for me. He doesn't hold that. And he says, it's mutter u'mitzvah havei. Right? Because so if you have the Radvaz who says you don't have to give a part of your body. You have all these spheres, you don't have to give a part of your body, either because it's called mamono, or because it's not darchei darchei noam, or you don't have to give a part of your body because you don't give a part of your body. It's a separate patur, right? The kidneys don't regenerate. You always have one. So even according to that story, you wouldn't have to do it. So, yeah, Rav Avadia writes, it's mutter, you're allowed to do it. That mitzvah havei. Mitzvah doesn't mean you have a chiyuv. Mitzvah means it's not like anything else that's mutter. Like a soccer game is also mutter. But it's not a mitzvah. But this is a mitzvah because it's a kiyum of pikuach nefesh. So it's very clear, I think, in Rav Avadia that you have no chiyuv to donate your kidney. There's some confusion on that, so just to be clarified, none of the other poskim say you have a chiyuv.
Are you saying that even if there were in a place where it's a row of goyim, because it creates a situation where a Jew is likely to get the kidney, and still...
That's a lot more complicated. It's a lot more complicated. It doesn't necessarily work that way, but because kidneys don't have to be perfect matches, right? We've managed to... Our medicine is good enough now that they don't have to be perfect matches, so you're talking that cheshbon still applies. It's after. That the cheshbon still applies, I don't know. And just to summarize the other poskim right now, Mitzitz Eliezer assumes that it's also lahachnis asma magam sakana lahatzel chaverim vaday sakana. He assumes that that's also lagamrei, and he says he has other hashkafic problems with who knows you giving your parts of your body to somebody else. What would the klayos be yoatzos and out of the person? Then he's not taking that. He's adding that in as a hashkafic piece after he thinks it's aser al pidin. He disagrees. He thinks it's also lahachnis asma b'safik sakana lahatzel chaverim vaday sakana. And he says, oh, and it's all these terrible things. There was a case in Eretz Yisrael of someone who was killed in a terrorist attack and donated their kidneys to what he describes as a PLO member. And he thought this was a terrible, horrible thing, aside for a whole variety of reasons. And he uses that and he says, and so to a living donation, there's no difference. How do you know it's going to the next person? But he thinks it's Asar Medina anyway. These Hashkafic pieces are in addition. The Minchas Yitzchak also assumes that there's a Sakana and therefore it's Asar. This was many, many years ago that the Minchas Yitzchak wrote this. I don't know if he would have changed his mind. It's a very, very short piece. You can see it inside. But for just one last point, then we'll stop. It's, well, the Tzitz Eliezer points out, and he says, well, he's dealing with different data, realize. Tzitz Eliezer died only a couple of years ago, but these tshuvas were for many, many years ago. He stopped writing tshuvas, I think, in the last 10 years of his life or so. I guess he died more than a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Six years ago.
Okay, whatever. I remember being in yeshiva. Anyway, so he stopped writing tshuvas about 10 or 15 years before that. So he's dealing with a different set of circumstances, different levels of sakana than what we knew in terms of the data. But he says the following. He says, well, so there's no sakana because of 90-day mortality. He doesn't say this. But the 90-day mortality is only 2.0 per 10,000. And the long-term mortality is maybe your serum creatinine will go a little bit up. Maybe you'll have a little bit of hypertension. It's really fake. He says, wait a minute. The doctor's opening you up on the table, taking out your kidney, right? That's a sakana. It happens to be that he then sews you back up. You're machnis yourself with sakana, and you're relying on the doctor to take you out of the sakana. He says, that's sakana vadais. You're lying on the table. If he doesn't put you back together, you're dead. If the anesthesiologist and the surgeon walk out, you're dead. Which is true. So he says, that's vadai sakana. You're certainly not allowed to do that. And that's when he wants to ask for the platelets also. He says, that's vaday sakana. You're not allowed to do that because you can't put yourself out. You're saying all your blood's going out, and this isn't really the case. Right? But all your blood goes out, and then you're trusting the doctor to give it back to you. And he has a raya from, today. Mumminus, that this should work. Particha, he has a whole weird raya for this. But he thinks that's a sakana. All the other posts can assume, no, you have to look at things the gadol, because otherwise I'll tell you, you can't cross the street either. You know why? Because if you stop in the middle of the street, you'll get hit by a car. I mean, there's a certain limit to what, I mean, there's a certain, I understand what he's saying, al derech that, but you have to draw a line somewhere. You can't do anything, because most of the posts are going to say, no, we assume that we look at the whole procedure, and the whole procedure itself is not sakana, even though putting yourself in sakana vadais, yeah, but we have to look at the whole thing and say that it's not. The last piece I want to just quote. That's Tzitzel Yezer. Sorry, I keep saying it's the last piece. Who has this? I think Rav Sternbach or Rav Zilberstein. I think Rav Zilberstein writes this. He says, let's say you don't have no chiv. He says you have no chiv to donate your kidney because he's one of the people who says darchei darchei noam. Right? Even if you have to, like this Red Vaz, you have to machnis atmopos avek sakana, hatzal chavir mevadai sakana, you don't have to give up part of your body, darchei darchei noam. Again, no one said my svar. No, probably because it's wrong. But no one says. So he says, darchei darchei noam. He goes, what if you want to? And your wife says, no. Can she be moche or not? He says, yes, she can be moche because she agreed to marry a man with two kidneys, and you have no right to change that tonight. She wants to marry a Adam Shalem, and you have no right to change that on her, and therefore she has the right to be moche. You should really talk to her nicely, and you should try to convince her that this is a big mitzvah, and it's not the right thing, and you should really, you know, b'dvarim tov, and he gives a story, that's what he does, and but he thinks that a woman has a right to be moche on her husband, not to donate a kidney, because it's not a chiyuv in the end. All right.
What about parents?
What a parent? Can a parent?
If
the parents are moche, I mean, that's a separate child. Can a parent be moche? I mean, this is a kiyum hamitzvah. It's not a chiyuv. So, can the parent be moche b'chlal when you want to do a kiyum hamitzvah? That's a separate. I think we assume not, unless it's nogea directly to them. But now, what if you're on your insurance? Okay.
You're also most likely to be a
man's name. Right, so that's a shaila, right? Your parents, who, let's say, both have diabetes, for the hypothetical, both have diabetes type 2, and we know that many diabetics, that's why we have so many patients who need, that 94,000 patients need kidneys because they're diabetics. So they say, well, don't give the kidney to this random guy that you met in the street, the guy in yeshiva, because I might need one day. Okay, so that's already a cheshbon. That's a cheshbon that, okay, that I could hear, and they're not being mocked. I think that's a separate question, and you should write about it, I think. All right. Thank you.
In a minute. Please pass the sheet around.
Okay. I have no concept of this.